Hello, everybody. I hope this podcast finds you in a good way and that you're having a great week so far. I just wanted to take a moment at the top of this episode to signal to you that the Calvary Tabernacle Young Adults podcast is rolling out for 2020 with some changes. Though nothing more major than a different theme song, the important thing is that you know how much we appreciate our listenership, and it is always humbling to hear someone talk about how much they enjoy the podcast and to see the little map on the website that we use to publish our episodes. We have listeners all over the world, and we see you, and we hope always to post quality material and to stay true to our mission and the apostolic doctrine. I hope you all will continue to listen and that you realize just how thankful we are that you do. Thank you so much. Please enjoy.
Series. We're doing a series on the Pentateuch here at the beginning of the year. But before we get into that, I just want to share something. Every year at the beginning of a new year, I pray and I pray, God, you know, what's going on this year? What kind of theme might you want to impart or show me? Sometimes it's just maybe a word, or I just ask God, is there anything that you want to show me for this upcoming year? And I was praying, and the word that came to my mind was dedication. And I thought, that's a silly word. I don't understand what that word means. So I'm like, okay, it's probably just me. So I kept praying, and I just couldn't get away from that word, dedication. I'm like, okay, God, I don't understand that word. You're going to have to, like, help me understand and confirm that to me, because I know of baby dedications, but I don't know. what do you mean, God? So we were at the Christmas concert, and I just was talking to Zach Norman, and I said, Zach, you know, hey, what do you think for this upcoming year for young adults? What are you feeling? And the first word out of his mouth was dedication. And I said, are you seriously? And so I felt that was just a confirmation about what I was feeling, and I would just submit that it's for me personally. I know that, and I know Zach feels it personally, but I would just present it to you guys as a group, or you as an individual, to consider what dedication looks like in 2020, what it looks like for your walk with God, what it looks like for you here at Calvary Tabernacle, for us corporately as a body. What does dedication for us look like? And I looked that word up because I was curious what it really meant, and here's what it says. It means to set apart and consecrate to a deity or to a sacred purpose, to give up wholly or earnestly as to some person or end, or to consecrate. And that challenged me to give yourself wholly to something. It sounds easy, but it's not easy. To give yourself wholly into the hands of God is actually a very daunting thing. And I didn't even see this coming when I was studying for this lesson, but maybe we can understand a little bit about what dedication means from the scripture that we're going to get into tonight. So if you'd like to turn your Bibles to Genesis 4, we're going to start at Genesis 4 and 1, and as I mentioned in the beginning of the year, we're starting in the Pentateuch. If you do not know what the Pentateuch is, it's the first five books of the Bible written by Moses, not the redactors. Brother Norman got it. All you in biblical textual at IBC, you will get it. Hallelujah. But I believe it was written by Moses. And I want to begin with, you know, we chose the Pentateuch, Brother Herbs, for a couple of reasons, but one of the reasons is this is the place in the Bible that everything springs from. So if we want to understand subsequent revelation, I want to understand Acts 2:38, but you're not going to really understand Acts 2:38 without understanding the process of revelation that built us up to what Acts 2:38 or what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You're not going to understand it unless you really understand the first types that God lays out in Scripture. So we're going to, I think, be very enriched in our understanding through this. And I don't want to take long tonight. I really don't. I just want to give you one thought, and I want to give you a challenge, and I want to let you go on this first night back, okay? So Genesis 4 and 1, I'll read all the way through, and then I'll go back through, and I'll begin to talk about it a little bit. Of course, this is after Adam and Eve and the fall. And it says, verse 1, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." So for just a few moments, I want to focus in on this simple but profound phrase that the Lord speaks to Cain in verse 7. He says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted." And I want to just title these remarks, "If thou doest well." We're here at the beginning of a new year. Brother Norman already shared some resolutions with us. A lot of people want to do better in 2020. I want to do better in 2020. I do. And so I want to do better above all else spiritually. I want to do better across the board. I've had a lot of Christmas cookies, hallelujah. I've had Christmas desserts. I could do better in a lot of areas, but spiritually is the primary thing. So I want to go through, beginning at verse 1, it says, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived." So Cain is the firstborn. And the Bible goes on through verse 2, 3, and 4. Abel comes along, and they both bring a sacrifice. Cain brings a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground. Abel brings a sacrifice of his flocks. Okay? So a thought has occurred to me as I read this, is what's the problem here? Brother Herbst, why is one sacrifice accepted, and why is another sacrifice just kind of passed over, like, eh? I don't think God said eh, but there was evidently a visible, some sort of visible recognition that Cain and Abel were able to see God had respect to this sacrifice, but not to this one. So that would be good to know, wouldn't it? How can our sacrifice be acceptable? And some people have said, well, it's because God demands an animal sacrifice, and Cain didn't bring an animal sacrifice. I don't know that that's it, because nowhere in the Bible up to this point, Sister Ruthie, nowhere up in the throughout the Bible up to this point do you have any kind of specification about sacrifice. There's no law about how to do it. There's not even really mention about how to do it. So evidently there's just something, whether God talked about it or not, there's a knowledge within man that sacrifice and offering is how we are fundamentally to relate to God. But I don't see any specifics that would make fruit a bad thing versus animal sacrifice, but I think there is clues here in the verses to show us what the problem is. And if you look at it, it just says that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to God. But when you look at Abel's sacrifice, it's talking about something more specific. It says he brought of the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And what that tells me is that this is the first and the best from Abel's flock. And it doesn't say that about Cain's sacrifice. Cain's sacrifice was brought. It was good, but it was not the best. It was not the best he could do. It was not the first and the best. Okay? That's convicting. Now, here's what I want to get into. Is we move on, and Cain, he recognizes that God does not have respect to his offering. And his countenance falls, and he's very angry with God. And the Lord, okay, how many of you sometimes, if we're honest, we get jealous in the church? We get angry because somebody else is blessed, or somebody else is promoted on the job, or somebody else got the position in the church, or they're singing the solo, or they're the one preaching, or whatever it is. If you're human and you're real, you know that we get jealous. It's so easy for humans. Don't leave me up here. It's how the heart is built. It's so easy to get jealous. And Cain is upset and jealous at his brother's sacrifice. And the Lord could just say, boom, Cain, get out of here. But the Lord takes the time to condescend to speak to Cain. And he says to him, why art thou wroth or angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? And this is what I really want to focus on for a little bit. The Lord says to Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So what he's saying is, look, what's the deal here? This is deeper than it just looks on the surface. This is pretty deep. The Lord's saying, wait a minute, Cain. I'm God. If I didn't accept your sacrifice, why are you mad? Whose fault is it? Is it my fault as God? Or is it your fault? Did you not do something right? And if you look just beyond this verse, of course we know that Cain ends up getting mad and killing his brother. He takes him out to a field and he kills his brother, sheds innocent blood, the first murder in the Bible. And why did that happen? Well, that's pretty easy. Because if you're, okay, I'll get to that. You go on generation after generation. You go down a few generations, and Cain's family, he has, through the line, a son or an offspring named Lamech, who writes the first poetry of the Bible. It's a beautiful piece of poetry if you read it. Let me read it to you. He's also the first bigamist or polygamist in the Bible. And the first piece of poetry is a sword song that says, I'll skip through it, "Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech," two wives, "hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my hurt, to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." So it's a song about murder and revenge. It's called his sword song. So seven generations later, that's his legacy, is Lamech and a revenge poetry. And you look, God brings Seth. And what my point is here is you have a distinction between the children of Seth, who Adam and Eve had to replace Abel as a righteous line, and you had this other line from Cain that was an increasingly corrupt line of descendants. And my point is that these are two types given in the Bible. Two types. And I believe we see these two types in the world even now. Abel is the type who says to God, I will give my best. I trust you to somehow make it up. And when we give an offering, when we give a tithe, that's symbolic of, I'll give you my 10% tithe. That's symbolic of the other 90% God belongs to you too. It's symbolic of us giving to say, you are the owner. I'm going to give my best. But Cain's offering was not that. And I think we see this kind of thing in the world today. I don't want to get into it too deep, too fast. But how many of you know people who You confront them with reality. And they have every justification of why they don't need to change and why reality should bend to their will. And they refuse to acknowledge reality. Now this, he's talking to God, and he's able to be so flippant to God and eventually say, am I my brother's keeper? Should I be looking after Cain or my Abel? It's just a different kind of attitude that you see in Cain. And I believe that you see that same kind of attitude in our world. Now, I don't want to get too graphic, but I'll get slightly graphic. So we have the biblical, what we would call the Bible is reality. It's God's word, okay? We all know that in this room. But there are people out there in the world who even back 100 years ago would have called like male and female reality. It's a biological reality. It's built into the fabric of nature by the Creator. And you have people now who, if they're born male or female, that's their biological sex. But no, it's not my gender, because gender's fluid. And I can decide what my gender is. And so you have people who say, well, okay, I know I was born as a biological male or a biological female, but I believe I'm a different gender. So I'm going to reconstruct my body, my biology, to reflect what I think I am internally. So the reality is presenting them with biology, with facts of what they're born into. And that kind of spirit says, no, I don't buy it. Something else is wrong here, but it's not how I feel. It's not my doing or my thinking. What's wrong is external reality, and it's got to change. And so we see this repeated over and over. I don't want to get political. This is not about politics, but if somebody else is being blessed, it doesn't hurt me. If somebody else is being blessed, maybe they've done well and they are doing well because they're cooperating with reality. And we've gotten very far away from that in culture, but I still believe that you don't even have to look. I'm sorry for getting on this a little bit because it's kind of a soapbox, but I heard a stat recently that apostolics, like some 60% of young apostolics, are not sure that they agree with the social position of the church on things like homosexuality. That's a problem. Because you don't even have to believe like we believe to realize male and female is a reality built into the fabric of nature. So if we even believe the very bare minimum that there is some sort of designer behind nature who created it, that's the least bit of reality we should recognize is what creation has mandated. Okay? So I just don't understand this kind of spirit that says, no, reality's got to change because I feel this way. And so what Cain does is he can't just leave Abel alone, because Abel testifies against him. Abel's very presence testifies that here's somebody, he's your brother, he had the same opportunities you did, and he gave God a more excellent sacrifice. So these two brothers go hang out, and every time Cain sees Abel, he sees a witness of his own disobedience, a witness of his own incompetence, and a witness of his own failure to live up to what God wanted. And so what does he do? He doesn't repent. He doesn't say, okay, God. What does he do? He kills his brother because he doesn't want to be reminded of what success looks like. It condemned him. So God forbid, let me get real for a minute. God forbid that we in the church get messed up in a bad way. It's easy to do. But God forbid we get messed up to where somebody's being elevated or used. Okay. That's fine. But look, okay, they're blessed. That doesn't take anything away from any one of us. If we will do well, we will be accepted. If we will do what God is blessing, we will be accepted. If we will cooperate with reality as God has created it, we will be accepted. You want to be blessed? I want you to be blessed. Everybody in this room can be blessed because God is no respecter of persons. It's the big lie, Brother Mooney calls, the big lie is thinking, oh, it's mama's fault that this happened to me. It's daddy's fault. Oh, if I would have been born 6 inches taller. Oh, if I would have been born to this family, if I would have had this skin color. And I'm not saying there's not an element of favoritism or an element of advantage, but what I'm saying is if you do well, it will be well with you. If you do well, you will be accepted. So I talked a little bit about how the culture looks at this, but I want to talk individually. I try to look at the year 2019. I try to look ahead, and I know we've all got our planners, and how many of you use planners? Does some of you? Okay, that's great. Good for you. I'm trying to use a planner. We want to do all those things to do better. We do. But I'm not just talking about doing better in how we manage our lives and how we manage our time and how we just do better. I'm not trying to motivate us tonight to say, let's do better. If I can do one thing tonight, here's the one thing I want to do. I just want to give us some clarity for what I think we need in 2020. And what I think that we need is dedication. And what I mean by dedication is I mean a wholly committed sacrifice. Not a partial, not something that's holding the best back, but something that's wholly given. I don't want to get too deep into this, but this church, a lot of change is happening. We need dedication to the kingdom. We need dedication to the local body. And it's very easy. It's difficult, Brother Vince, I believe. It's easy to be in the work of God or be doing something for God. And you don't know. I can be up here worshiping and you can see my hands raised. You can see me singing, but you don't know how deep it is. You don't know how real it is. You just look on the externals and you see me and it's like, okay, he's up there. He's following the rules. He's good. Oh, he's still wearing suits and shaving. He's okay. You don't know if I'm doing my good or if I'm doing my best. And I've just been convicted lately that maybe my good will get by. And maybe my good will not be noticed because it blends in. And maybe my good is good enough. But I can't just be good. I've got to be dedicated to everything that God has for me. I want to give a more excellent sacrifice. It's so easy to do good and hold back a piece of your energy or hold back a piece of your passion and reserve it. That's what I've been challenged about, is giving the whole Kevin to the work. Amen? I want to read this story to you. This is written by, before he was president, President Jimmy Carter. And what President Carter, he was graduated from the Naval Academy, and he was applying for a submarine program, and he was interviewing with a very tough admiral for this submarine program. And he sits down in this room with this admiral for 2 hours. They sit in a room alone together, and the admiral just says, okay, what do you want to talk about? And so Jimmy Carter starts talking about all the subjects that he's familiar with, and the admiral just starts drilling him with increasingly difficult questions, getting tougher and getting tougher and getting tougher, until finally Jimmy Carter realizes, this guy, I don't know much about anything I thought I did. And he's just nailing him and nailing him. And finally, later in the conversation, the admiral says, so in your class at the Naval Academy, how did you do? And Jimmy Carter got kind of proud because he did good. So he's like, well, I did 59th out of 800 some students. And the admiral was like, okay. And he asked Jimmy Carter, he said, well, did you do your best? And Jimmy Carter gulped and sat there and said, if I'm honest, no, I did not always do my best. And the admiral just sat there for a while longer, and he said, why not? And just walked out of the room. And Jimmy Carter, since that time, wrote a book called Why Not Your Best. Now, this sounds a little bit cheesy, maybe, but to me, it's not cheesy. To me, it's, we serve the King of Kings. We're in it for the kingdom of God. We're in it for souls. We're in it for people who need a dose of truth and salvation. And am I going to be good-ish, or am I going to do my best for them? So it says in Hebrews 11 and 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So we're out here in this world, we're here in the ministry, but look, my brother's success doesn't hurt me. A sister who's lifted up, that doesn't hurt me in any way. If I want to do well, here's how I do well. I have the opportunity to do what God is blessing. God is under no obligation to bless what I'm doing unless I'm in cooperation with what he's blessing. So what does that look like for me? I don't entirely know what dedication looks like for me, but here's an inkling of what it looks like for me. And I'm not trying to spiritualize this or hype you guys up to get involved with things, but here's the reality. There's a lot of changes happening at Calvary Tabernacle. This, starting at the end of last year, moving into this year, I'll just name off a few. We've got Brother Healy over Sunday school. We've got the Lopez's now over outreach. We've got things shaking up across. I walked up here, and we've got people drilling and hammering in this room right here to do. Things are changing, things are moving, and who's going to get called on to help? It's the local body. It's this group of people right here. And here's the deal, guys. I personally, do I benefit to see a great Sunday school program? Maybe, maybe not. Do I benefit if this hallway gets painted white? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe not. Do I really benefit if Brother Lopez just does a smash out job? Maybe, maybe not. But the sacrifice of Abel looks like this. I'll give it away. I trust God to bring back what needs to be brought back. I give you the best. It's all yours. You bring back what you want to bring back. So I want to be dedicated, wholly given to the kingdom in 2020. I don't want to hold back my passion. I don't want to hold back my energy. I don't want to hold back my effort, my sacrifice. I want to give the best. So this is short and a little bit cheesy, but here's what I want you to want to do as we pray. I just want you to think, and maybe you have something to write it down with, maybe you don't, but as if you wouldn't mind coming back up and just playing, Katie, I want us to think about an area that we can do better at in our lives, if we're honest. And I'm not just talking about I want to eat less cookies. This isn't a motivational thing. This is a God, I giving my best to your kingdom and your purpose. And that is not an easy question. I think as they're getting ready, I think that Zach mentioned, but January the 18th, we need not only people downstairs to help us, I need some gentlemen to help paint. I want to get a head count of how many can help me paint this wall, this whole green wall. If you have any painting experience at all, I want your help. Come see me. Come talk to me. But here's the deal. Nobody actually knows what your best is but you and God. Nobody knows what your best in your own prayer life is and if you're slacking. Nobody knows what your best is for, I want to study and figure out what the word really means. Nobody knows what your best is, gentlemen, at IBC and how you apply yourself but you. And I know we can't be best at everything. I understand that. But I want to be giving my best to the kingdom. And I want to be dedicated. And that's all I want to give to you tonight is this word, dedication, wholly given, consecrated, set apart, not withholding back, but given to the kingdom, given to the work of the local church, given to the advancement of the gospel. So as they play for just a moment, I'm going to be done talking. I want you to just reflect. I want you to reflect on where in your own life you know you've not been giving your best and you need to.